I'm going to start reading in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. I want to take a little bit of license with this particular passage, just in thinking about the history that's going on here, because we can only imagine what some of the Hebrew people may have been experiencing or feeling and all have been going through. But at this particular point in the book of Exodus, we're at a juncture in the nation of Israel here, the Hebrew children. What's happened up to this point is they have been, let me go back a good bit of years here, they have been in Egyptian captivity for 400 years. And I don't know, that may be four or five generations. But for several generations, the Hebrew children have known nothing but Egyptian captivity. And you see throughout the scriptures, at one point when they're out over in the desert, we'd rather go back and eat the onions. You know, the things of the Egyptian captivity have become so familiar for them, have become so routine, they're content in it, that whenever they get, and whenever they face a very difficult time, their mind reflects on what they had before. Even though what they had before was captivity. It was never the plan of God for them. It was never the design of God for them. That wasn't His end, what He had in mind for them. What He had in mind for them was the land of Canaan. But they remember that captivity. And I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to get in that mindset as we think about it and about where they're at this particular juncture in Scripture. But to take you up, you know the story here very well. God has sent Moses to the Pharaoh of Egypt. The plagues have happened to prove who God truly is. Pharaoh's heart's been hardened time and time again. But these Hebrew children who are at this juncture in Scripture, they have also been a part of witnessing everything that's been going on and just seeing the hand of God moving in their lives and in the circumstances here. And oftentimes, whenever I think of this particular place of Scripture or this whole passage, this part of the history, I get a little frustrated with these Hebrew children sometimes. Don't you get it? You know, and look at what God has just done, all these plagues, and how He's delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Not just that you got to leave, but you left and they gave you gold and they gave you everything that you needed, and yet they still question and get afraid. At this particular point in Exodus chapter 14, God has told, they've already left Egypt, they're facing the Red Sea. God has told them to come, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce these names, the Piharahoth or something like that. He's told them, you go to this particular place and you stand still, all right? And that's what they've done. So here they are, they're standing still, and what they see, they look up and they see the Egyptian army coming after them. And what do? They get afraid. They're afraid. They've seen the hand of God delivering them. They know that God is involved in their lives, and they're afraid. And this is where I typically get kind of a little bit frustrated in my initial thinking with the Hebrew children here, but I think I'd be afraid too. Look up and to see that Egyptian army coming after you, and you look on the other side of you, and what do you see? The Red Sea. And there's a passage here that God sends through Moses to speak that I want us to focus on. There's two verses. One verse you should remember pretty well. It's a popular verse. We're going to start in verse 13. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 says, "And Moses said unto the people," now they're looking at the Egyptian army coming after them, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now that's a beautiful phrase. It's the next verse that I'm after for the moment, but I want to pause there. They have seen the salvation of the Lord, and yet here they are again being afraid because they see some new trouble coming their way, and they have to be reminded, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But in that moment when they're standing still, look at what Moses says to them in verse 14, and it's what I'm after. He says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Isn't that a beautiful just truth that God gives us there? "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, what I want us to focus on tonight, Lord willing, is "you shall hold your peace." But when we're holding our peace, you think about these Hebrew children and what all they've gone through, and they're facing this fear. And Moses says to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because it's the Lord who is fighting for you. It's the Lord who is fighting for you. He shall fight for you. And if we had the time, we could stop and we could take just a moment. We could reflect on that as a church. And we can think about in our lives times where we have faced uncertain circumstances and the Lord has fought for us. And we could just take a minute to enumerate some of those times in our lives. It doesn't mean that when we face a new circumstance in the future that we're not going to get afraid and we're not going to be like these Hebrew children and have our doubts and, you know, okay, they're coming this way and I got the sea back here. What in the world are we going to do? Doesn't mean we're not going to be in the same position, but he's reminding them, the Lord shall fight for you.
Yeah.
And he's done that for you and I. We can go around and just think about just the different members of the church. The Lord has fought for us as his people, just like he's done with the Hebrew children back here in the desert right before they go through the Red Sea. Because the next scene we see is Moses raising that rod and they walk through the Red Sea on dry ground there. He fought for them in a miraculous way. But the admonition he gives them is that you shall hold your peace. So let's think about that for a moment. Now you're in the desert. What were these Hebrew children doing for a second though? We can back up here. And they said to Moses, whenever they saw this coming, said, why'd you bring us out here? Because there's no graves in Egypt? You wanted us to just die here in the desert and our bones to lie on the ground, I guess? They whenever they saw this coming, they didn't hold their peace. They began to whine and complain or get fearful and say things and make accusations and blame and accuse and do all the things that we typically do whenever we're facing, or that I do whenever we're facing uncertain times. But the admonition here is not just that the Lord will fight for you, but that you shall hold your peace. And there is a time and place where we ought to hold our peace.
Yeah.
You know, and there are several examples that we could look at throughout Scripture. I'm not going to go to these passages. I've got two different Scriptures that I want us to take a moment to look at. But just think through the times in Scripture where the child of God, the man of God, held his peace. We can look at Job's three friends. When they held their peace, they were of great comfort. It's when they stopped holding their peace that their comfort ended and the problems began.
Yeah.
We can look at Elisha. Whenever Elijah was about to be taken up in the chariot of fire, there were prophets that Elisha kept running into. And they kept saying, you know, this is me quoting, of course, but Elijah's about to die. And he said, I know, hold your peace. God is in control. The God is the one fighting for us right now. Whether he dies or not, that's not what is of concern. What is the part for us to remember is that God is fighting for us. So hold your peace. Nehemiah was up on the wall, rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And there were people who were trying to thwart that work, to keep it from happening. And they would come after him from several different angles to try to just disrupt this work. And at one point he said, I'm not going to come down from the wall to deal with this stuff. I'm going to keep doing the work. And he held his peace and he stayed focused on doing the work that God had called him to do. And the Lord fought for him and delivered them. There are several examples there. But I think that's one of the hardest things for us to do whenever we are facing those uncertain times is to hold our peace. We want to fight. We want to begin to rally our troops and get people on our side. Or we want to do everything that we can to try to put our trust back, just like these Hebrew children back in this day. Their hope was in the things that they knew, what they were comfortable with. You know, they had been in Egyptian bondage, but they'd rather have been there than to have faced these uncertain times because that's what their hope was in. That's what they knew and they'd experienced. And we fall back on that. We want to go back to what we experience rather than to face these uncertain times, trust and hope that God is the one fighting this battle for us, and we're just going to fight that silently. There are several examples that I was thinking of throughout the afternoon for me. Whenever I moved off to college, that was probably one of the most fearful times for me, to be honest with you. It was in 1996, the summer of 96. It was the first time that God really began, or that I began to pursue God. I had the opportunity to go to a couple of different schools, and I got afraid every time that I would go. I started to go to one school in Atlanta, and about 2 weeks before I left, I told my mom and dad, I'm not going. You know, I didn't want to leave the safety of what I knew. Atlanta's a big place. It's uncertain. I didn't know anybody there. It was easy to rely on mom and dad and to put my faith in them. And then I had the opportunity to go somewhere else, go to University of Georgia. And I called just right before I left, said, I think I'm just going to go to Georgia Southern. That's closer home. You know, and dad encouraged me and pushed me on. But that uncertainty of what I would be facing was a fearful time for me. And it was very easy for me just to relax and to feel comfortable in what I already knew. My mom and dad took care of everything. And I'm not comparing them to Egypt by no means, but they already knew what they needed to know in Egypt. So it was easy for the Hebrew children to just think back on and want to continue to hold on to those pieces rather than just to have that trust in God and to hold their peace. And think about what it means to hold your peace there. Nehemiah was up on the wall and he held his peace to a degree. He could have come down and justified himself with those people. God's told me to do this. You need to be aware of that. And you're the one who's not following God. No, he just continued in the work. Holding your peace does not mean that you're a doormat. And we're going to look at that in a few seconds in the New Testament. But holding your peace means that you stay focused on what God's laid out before you. And you do that and you hold on to that path. You continue in it regardless of those circumstances going on around you. As hard as that is at moments. And I really wanted us to take a few moments to just reflect on that in our own lives. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to do that, but there's been all of us times when you stop and you think about it, in those difficult moments, the best thing you did was just to remain silent and to steady follow God because He was fighting the battle for you. There's kind of a dichotomy here. God doesn't tell us to only hold our peace and He fight for us. And I got a little bit nervous with this morning because Brother Billy went, this is his first passage of Scripture he looked at. But Acts chapter 18, if you'll jump with me there. Before I read this and as you're turning, I'm thankful that at the moment I'm not facing adversity or some kind of uncertain circumstance or some kind of fearful battle ahead of me. I need to look back on those past battles so that I can hold fast to God and recognize that He was fighting for me. But because I'm not in that situation at the moment, I'm able to look around and see some of you who are facing some of those uncertain times and struggles and battles and remind you, just hold your peace. God is the one fighting for you. And I think that's one of the admonitions that I wanted to share with you guys tonight with us as a church is that whenever you're not in the midst of the battle, one of the things that you can do is reflect that for people, that God is the one fighting the battle, especially whenever someone is being unjust and you're the victim, so to speak, in that situation. God is the one fighting the battle. You shall hold your peace. But He doesn't always leave us in that position. God doesn't call us to be a doormat as Christians or as His children. Brother Billy talked about persuading people this morning. And we ought to persuade people. But I want to back up just a couple of verses from where he started this morning. Now, you know the situation with where Paul is at in Acts chapter 18. Brother Billy preached on that this morning. He's going to be accused. The people don't want to hear what he's saying. He's already went through several towns where they've run him off. But this is what Jesus says to Paul. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10 is what I want us to read. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. It says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace. Hold not thy peace. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Just like the Hebrew children were back in the Old Testament that we were covering, they were afraid and they needed to understand. I think there was a transition happening with the Hebrew children that's already happened with Paul here. All they had known up to this point is that captivity. And so it was easy for them to be afraid. And God showed Himself in a mighty way and fought for them and said, hold your peace. Paul's already gone through that. He is a Christian, a child of God, a warrior for Christ, who has already been facing these uncertain circumstances and knows that God is fighting for him and is pushing for it, persevering through it anyhow. And there's a reason to be afraid here. I don't know that Paul is afraid. There's a reason for him to be afraid here. But Jesus says to him, don't be afraid, but also don't hold your peace. It's time to speak. As Brother Billy talked about this morning, it's time to persuade individuals. And he says this right behind it in verse 10. He says, for I am with thee. That's another way of saying the God is fighting for us. The Lord is fighting for us. I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So don't hold your peace because God is fighting for you. Back in the Old Testament, hold your peace and the Lord is fighting for you. Isn't it beautiful? And we can just take and stop in the book of Acts alone and look at this. Let's back up to Peter, one of the apostles. He was standing before his own brethren, the Jews, who knew God, did not know Christ, and it angered them for him to speak about Jesus Christ. And yet, whenever they confronted him, what did he do? He preached Christ and Christ crucified and confronted the sin in their lives and held up that Christ was the one fighting for them, for him in that moment. Whether I should follow man or not, I'm going to follow the Lord. Whether I will follow the Lord, it's not right to follow man. That's me paraphrasing that verse. That's what Paul, that's what Peter proclaims there. The Lord's fighting for him. He knows where his focus ought to be. We can look at Stephen. Stephen was a man who was facing death. Paul was there in this particular situation before he had had his conversion. Stephen was facing death, and in the midst of them throwing rocks at him, he knew who was fighting for him, but he still did not hold his peace. And in that moment, he even prayed for those who were killing him. We, as God's children today, some of us are still in a type of captivity, and we need to understand that in that midst of captivity, in that midst of our weakness in those moments, I say some of us, all of us, are still in a type of captivity. And we need to begin to discern out in those moments where we don't have that strength to stand up and speak boldly, that we can be silent because the Lord is fighting for us. But I think as a church as well, most of us ought to be over here just like Paul and Peter and Stephen, speaking boldly because we know that the Lord is fighting for us. We have witnessed it in mighty ways in this church in our own lives. And we ought not to hold our peace. Hold not your peace. Speak boldly before them. Brother Billy preached this morning, persuade them, because we know exactly what God's doing. He is fighting for us. And you can look at Paul. You know, Peter was preaching to people who knew God, but they did not have a knowledge of Christ. Stephen was preaching to people who knew God, did not have a knowledge of Christ. Paul goes to Rome, and he's preaching to people who don't even know God. They've got so many statues, they've got one made up for people who is an unknown God. And what does Paul do? He preaches God and Christ crucified. He speaks boldly. He does not hold his peace just because they're ignorant. He speaks boldly before them. John the Baptist speaks boldly to someone who does not know who God in Christ is. King Herod, he's beheaded because he speaks boldly. He does not hold his peace to the principles that God has set forward to the point that it cost his life later on. And what I wanted to do tonight is just have us think about the situations that we're facing as a church or as an individual, those circumstances going on in other people's lives. But look around, church, whether it be you or others around us, there's someone who needs the admonition, God is fighting for you, hold your peace. And then we're to come in and to encourage and admonish, to support them. And then there's others in our midst or in our community where we know that God is fighting and we are not to hold our peace. And I think oftentimes we do hold our peace and we ought not to. And the blessing doesn't go with us because we have held our peace and we shouldn't have. And so I want that to be the admonition for us out of this little bit of message tonight, is that you have that discernment. As you walk in the Spirit of God, you have that discernment. Which ones we need to go to and just encourage them, God is fighting for you. Hold your peace. Or encourage them, God is fighting for you. Now you ought to be doing these things because you're not. And that we have that, we walk out that walk of whether we're holding our peace or we're not holding our peace to the glory of God. Brother Billy, that's all I have.
I was thinking when Brother Clay was bringing the message, I was thinking about how hard it is sometimes to know when to hold your peace and when to not hold your peace. So that's one of the biggest problems I have. I tend to hold my peace when I ought to be speaking, and I tend to speak when I ought to be holding my peace. The book of Ecclesiastes says, to everything there's a season. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. Also was thinking as he was reading from Exodus chapter 14, and I think it was verse 12, that the scripture says that God told the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then two verses later, he said, go forward. There's a time to stand still. There's a time to go forward. There's a time to speak. There's a time to be silent. And Brother Clay's admonition to us tonight is that God would help us all to have the discernment, to have the wisdom, to know when to hold our peace and when not to hold our peace. And in all of that, know that the Lord will fight for you. The Lord is fighting for you. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. So I pray that God will help us all. I know the Lord has spoken to my heart tonight on several matters, and I pray that God will help us all to know what the Lord would have us to do in every situation, to know when to speak and when to be silent.